We're out and about at the Brighton Fringe. We're on Fringe City. This time it's Sunday, so it's the second Fringe City of Brighton Fringe. And we're going to talk about a piece called The Woman Who Conceived the Pill. And that's from Brass Tacks Theatre. And I'm joined by...
Sarah Hickenbottom.
Sarah, tell us about this production.
Well, it's a fascinating solo show. It's the story, a true story, of the woman who in 1917 sort of envisaged the idea of women having access to birth control in the form of a pill, something simple to take, like aspirin. In America, she's an American lady, it was also illegal to use and distribute birth control, and she thought that law was wrong, and so she set about to change it. And this is the story of how women gave women the pill and changed the law.
And yet there are still places in the world now where this isn't okay and accepted, is it?
Exactly, and in some respects we're going backwards. And so that's why this story, it varies from 1917 to 1960 when the pill was approved, but it's absolutely applicable today. Many would argue it's more applicable today in 2018 than it was 10 years ago, because we do seem to have reached peak equality, or whatever the phrase might be. And so, yes, women need to bond together. That's what happened 100 years ago. Women gave women the pill. No pharmaceutical company or scientist or altruistic male government. It was women who said, no, this is not right. We're going to do it. Now, scientists created the pill. They did the invention. It was women who got the motivation, who secured the funding, and who hired the scientists to apply what the scientists were discovering to reproductive freedoms.
Yeah. Was that also, that was a time where the march of science, a bit like now, was going beyond the philosophical and ethical considerations of how that science might play out. And then what started to happen is inventiveness had to meet ethical questions and issues. And so whether they did that positively or reluctantly, in a way, this was bound to happen, wasn't it?
In terms of the ethics?
Well, in terms of if you can create a pill, at some point that's not going to be put in a drawer, is it?
No, true. But it was, this actually took place. The scientists who did the work had been thrown out of Harvard for basically being a bit of a maverick.
Oh, so they were kind of heretics too, were they?
Yeah.
Okay.
This was before they started working on the pill. But what this scientist did is he set up his own research institute. He decided to just branch out and do his own thing. And so when Margaret Sanger, the woman who the play is about, when she located him, it meant that he didn't have to talk to anybody higher up, because Harvard wouldn't have allowed him to do the research. They were talking; it was illegal. In Massachusetts and Connecticut, having a conversation in 1917, not 1950, was about birth control was illegal. What we are doing right now was a criminal act. It's insane.
And lots of things were illegal, weren't they? And then when science pushed in various ways, we were told we couldn't do it.
Yeah, and the play actually, it's quite a fascinating thing, because the pill was approved in 1960, May the 9th, almost the anniversary. And what actually happened is, it's quite ironic, but the government were afraid of the Food and Drug Administration in America having more political power than they should have. And so bureaucratically, they said that they couldn't let social considerations interfere with what they did, and that meant that the Food and Drug Administration had to allow the pill, whereas if that bureaucratic red tape wasn't in place, they would never have approved it, because of all the ramifications about motherhood and promiscuity and all of those concerns. So that's a real big red tape, we love you moment.
Yeah. In the story of your life, how did you come to the moment where you decided to make this show?
Well, 2 years ago, I heard a snippet on Radio 4 about women giving women the pill. It didn't phrase it that way, but it was a brief moment, and I was floored. I'm a scientist by background and an actor, and I'm a woman, and I was like, how can I not know that women gave women the pill? I even lived in America for years, and I had no idea. And I went home, got a biography, read the book, and was just like, no, I need to tell this story. And the theatre is an amazing medium to do it in.
So the scientist and the woman were shocked into looking into this more, and then the woman and the actor decided to make some theatre.
Exactly, because it's such a gripping story. The piece could be 8 hours long. Don't worry, it's not. It's an hour 15.
There are 8 hour shows too, I think, at the Fringe.
She had such a life, and she is the equivalent to a great male campaigner, and yet she's just disregarded and ignored and vilified.
Yeah, and beyond that story, who is she to you?
Margaret Sanger is the woman who said enough is enough. Yeah. She saw mothers who loved their children but didn't have the money or the health. You know, motherhood can be very difficult if you're not in good health. And she saw people dying, and she didn't believe in abortion. She wanted to create a way to prevent. Men like sex, women like sex. She actually adored men. This is a woman who loved men. Her first sort of way she came at this was because she wanted to enjoy sex. And so she's a woman who said, I'm just going to ignore the fact that the world tells me I'm wrong. I'm just going to do what I think is necessary. She was very single-minded. She was like the queen on a chessboard. She manipulated people because she was so determined on her cause. She was adorable. She was very charming. She had many lovers. One of them was H.G. Wells.
And what kind of research did you do? Tell us about that process.
I read an awful lot of books. There's actually a lot about her life available in print and online. The wonders, you can go back into the archives of like the New York Times, and there's also all her letters are available in print. So I went all to the sources to read her actual words. And what I've actually done in the play is I've incorporated an awful lot of her actual words, so her speeches, her statements, and the trick has been to create a character where my words fit with hers so that the audience doesn't know which is which.
And when do you decide as the artist sort of creating something and then the verbatim to come in, you know, the words that were spoken, how do you get that balance right? When do you decide, no, this needs to be rewritten, and no, that I just need to lift that off the page?
I think it's when it speaks to you. One of her lines is women will never be free until they own and control their own bodies. And that's a very simple, you know, she was a very eloquent woman of simplicity, and that speaks to you as a woman, and it speaks to the story, so therefore it stays in. Whereas something that's doesn't speak to what the play is about, when you're dealing with a woman who is so amazing, who had such a life that could take you a month to tell, the trick is to find what the drama is and then to only focus in on the speeches she said that plays to that drama. And so that's what we did in the, yeah.
And finally, as a loud cello starts to strike up on one of the stages here, what would then be your invitation to potential audiences to come and see the woman who conceived the pill?
Well, please come. We're at Exeter Street Hall.
Less the details, because we'll put all that. But what would be your invitation for people to come?
My invitation would be to, this is an incredible true story. And it is true. Yes, there's some dramatisation, but every fact in the play is true. And you'll never forget it. It will change your view of what women can do for women. And so really it's about empowerment. It's about us standing up and being proud and of our gender, and also realising that we don't have to be at the mercy of other genders and, well, men, etc. We are our own people. And it's a real celebration, and fascinating. Everybody is just gripped.
And I think the music in the background works in that invitation. Thanks very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you.